Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the second Sunday in Advent comes from our Old Testament reading of Isaiah. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. In that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for all peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. In the name of Jesus. Stumps are dead. They're the remnants of cut down, worthless old trees that no longer bear any fruit. These trees have become useless, other than for fuel for the fire. Stumps remind us of what was, the hopes of something that used to be good and great, but now no longer is. And with the tree gone, the fruit gone too, the stumps soon will die. The roots, they rot away. Nothing is expected from a stump. In fact, when a shoot does appear, it's usually cut down as well. Nothing good can really come from that shoot. It isn't wanted. It isn't needed. It's usually seen to be just as worthless as the stump that it came from, more of a nuisance than anything else. Now, the tree of Jesse once held such great promise. The father of David produced a great and wonderful king that led God's people in justice and in righteousness. David, he grew up strong and noble, even if he might have looked a little weak. And from him came Solomon, the wisest and richest king on all the earth. The tree was strong and mighty under him, bearing fruit in keeping with repentance. Everything looked great for this mighty and wonderful tree, that is, until it didn't. And history will tell us that even great Solomon began to waver. Under him, the tree first showed signs of its eventual death. His sons fought each other for the country and the throne, dividing the nation, splitting the people. False gods were worshipped, idols were bowed down to, and the tree got sicker, producing less and less fruit, until finally it was cut down, pruned by the Assyrians to almost nothing, axe laid bare by the Babylonians until there was nothing left except a dead stump. And then centuries later, from this stump of Jesse, miraculously came a shoot. A shoot like that first sapling, only a little bit different. On the one hand, the shoot was nothing like the old tree that David had been. It was weak and spindly, and nothing was expected from it. What really could be expected from a shoot that springs forth from the womb of a teenaged mother who gives birth in a barn? By the mere sight of this shoot, no one could say that anything was going to amount from it. The stump was too long dead. There was no temporal reason that this shoot would turn into anything, no earthly reason that anyone would be drawn to its beauty or take nourishment from its fruit. It was despised and it was rejected by men. But on the other hand, the shoot became everything that the old tree never could be. In this shoot was life and the light of men. From this shoot came forth fruit that did not lead to eternal death, but fruit that nourished to eternal life. And he did not judge the people by what could be seen. That is to say, he did not judge by what seemed to be right, by what made sense, by what was rational and logical, looking at the worthless righteousness of the people. Instead, he judged the people with a righteousness that came from himself, deciding with equity based upon his own righteousness and his own perfection. Now, a shoot like this shouldn't last very long, drawing from itself in order to give life to those around him. It should, by all accounts, wither up and die, but it didn't. He couldn't. He came to give life from death. He came to accomplish the impossible. He came to fulfill that which should have remained unfulfilled forever. He came to forgive the unforgivable, to give life to the dead, to make the rich poor, to make strong the meek. And he accomplished all of this by the word of his mouth. And here too is something that doesn't make much sense. It's beyond all understanding, because simple words should not be able to accomplish such miraculous things. But from the word made flesh, the word that creates by speaking all things into existence, also comes a word that kills in order to bring to life. And none of it makes sense, but there it is for us. And you know this to be true because it happens for you. Here, in this Advent season, more than other times, you hear the word, the call to repentance. And repentance is the gift that cuts you down to nothing and then brings you back to life. Repentance begins with the law of God, that good and righteous law that is to be kept perfectly. Repentance first smacks you with a rod over the top of the head. It's the thing that lays an axe to the root of your tree. It's the thing that places your sin before your eyes and calls you guilty, declares it. Guilty of the things that you try to justify away. Guilty of the hatred that you have for your brother. The lust that you have for that which hasn't been given to you. The envy for the gifts that other people have. The apathy for all of the good that you should be out doing. The despising of preaching and God's word. The times in which you use God's name for evil. The countless occasions when you bow down to self-made idols and run away following all of those other self-made gods. Repent. You hear this from the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, you brood of vipers. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. It does no good to rest upon your laurels. If you plan on producing good fruit, then you better not nurture the tree with your good works or your good intentions or your good feelings. You better not prune with shears made of lineage and ancestry. You better not fertilize with your ability to keep the law, because none of that will do the tree any good. In fact, all of it will make the tree, will make you that much more diseased, that much more in need of the axe to be laid to your root. But in the end, that's exactly what must happen to the tree. To be dead and cut off. If the tree isn't dead, if Christ doesn't speak his word of the law into your heart to kill the wicked, to lay bare the self-righteous, to cut down the diseased tree, then there's nothing left for that tree except the fireplace. And so the Lord lays his axe at your root. He cuts you down. He chops at all of your good works and your good intentions and your good goodness until there's nothing left. He chops and he cuts and he kills and he makes dead. And I know this seems like a word that's a little too hard and a little too harsh to accept. Why must God do all of this? Why must the law hurt so bad? Why must the law cut so deep and so true? Why must the law always speak to my very sin? And not just one of them, but all of my sins. Why must the law kill so well? But it's necessary. If the diseased tree is not cut down, then a shoot can't come forth. If death does not come, then the Lord cannot raise to new life. But that's how your Lord actually works, in these simplistically backwards sorts of ways that no one can ever really see coming. He doesn't just make the things of today right, but he kills the things of yesterday in order to make new the things of tomorrow. As a judge against sin, there's no one more demanding than him and his lawful acts. But then, as a judge who sits in your favor, who judges in his righteousness, not yours, and who always renders a verdict for your sake because of Christ, there could not be a more gracious and loving forgiving and merciful God. Jesus is the root of Jesse, come from the dead stump of humanity. Nothing alive there, nothing worth giving life, not in the diseased riddenness of mankind, not in your sinfulness, not in my sinfulness, certainly, not in the unlawfulness of the people and all the nations. None of us worthy, not a single one. But from this dead stump of ours, as one with this stump, made from the same stumpy stuff as you and I, the same stumpy hands and stumpy feet and stumpy eyes and stumpy ears, the same stumpy humanness, comes the shoot that creates life in this once dead stump. And this shoot is Christ, the tree of Jesse, the greater Solomon, David's son, yet David's Lord. And from this shoot comes your life, even right now. For you've already been cut low, made to be nothing. You've already been killed and brought to death. Each day he cuts you anew so that he can bring you to new life again. And so now is the time for the rest of that repentance stuff, the stuff that we forgot to talk about before. Now is the time for the forgiveness of sins. Now's the time for it to be known to you that you have life. Life that shoots forth from you. And this life is given freely, washed over you in the River Jordan, splashed upon you as a bath of forgiveness. This life is in you, springing forth from your bellies into a spring everlasting. This life is Christ, and it is Him for you. It's always Him for you. From His death, He brings forth life, so that in your death, He can bring you to life, make you new, each and every single new day. Old Adam drowned, old tree cut down, new Adam brought to life, new shoot springing forth. That's the way of your God, your Savior, your Lord, your shoot. From humanity's death, He comes forth to make humanity alive, so that in your death, He can make you alive. So that every single day, He can cut you down with His law and then bring you forth in a new shoot of life with His gospel of forgiveness. So that in all things, He can make you alive, even as you gasp for your final breath. Even there, you will find glorious rest. Even there, as the axe is laid to the root, you will find a resting place in Christ. As you wait for that day in which the wolf lies down with the lamb, finally. Because He's the shoot that has been promised. It's already come. Comes this very day and will certainly come again in glory. And He's done all of it for you. Even while you were that dead stump. In the name of Jesus.